Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Rachel, how's it going?
Brilliant. Can we do this every time?
Oh, I love it.
Song to introduce the topic.
Let's talk about sex drive. We have talked about sex drive a lot on the show, but listeners keep asking about it and have so many worries and questions. Can we start by asking, what is a normal sex drive?
Yeah. So there's no such thing as a normal sex drive. We have, you know, in our kind of culture, we have ideas about how many times you should have sex in a week and stuff like that. And realistically, as long as you and whoever you're in a relationship with, or it can, you know, you can also think about your sex drive as a single person, you know, as long as you're okay with it, and if you're in a relationship that the other person or people involved are kind of, you know, feeling kind of met and heard and in that, then it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, once a day or once a year or potentially never.
Okay.
So that's a really good place to start, is just kind of recognizing, like, okay, we might see something like the start of a relationship. People will often talk about, you know, having sex every time they see each other, you know, when they move in, that might still be every day, and then it tends to go down to maybe once a week, once every couple of weeks, once a month. You know, it does tend to get less over time, but that's not the case for all couples. And certainly we need to move away from the idea of a normal sex drive, because there's also so many things that can change your sex drive and desire for a particular person, but also just your sense of sex drive in yourself.
Let's talk about that. How common is it for people to experience lulls in desire? I presume very common.
Incredibly common. Almost everyone in life will have times where they feel much more connected to themselves sexually, which might mean they want more sex, although it doesn't necessarily. You can feel very sexually connected to yourself and not necessarily want to have loads of sex, because it might be kind of quality over quantity. And then there's just loads of reasons why people might also find that there's a lull, you know, that either they're not particularly maybe compatible sexually with the person that they're with, or they haven't kind of got to grips with that yet. And might also be that there's loads of other things going on in their life that mean that they're just not feeling very sexual, you know, which doesn't have to mean that something is terribly wrong.
How about reasons for it increasing? Why does that happen?
Well, so increasing, I mean, it can be actually similar to the reasons that it decreases, you know, whether that's to do with, for some people, it's about pregnancy, having kids, you know, usually kids will mean that there's, you know, the sex drive is lower for a period of time, but sometimes that can be higher. You know, your kind of health in general, your work situation, how much stress you're under. You know, some people really respond to stress by feeling much less sexually connected, wanting way less sex, just not wanting that kind of, you know, they might not even want touch. And for other people, stress very much speeds up their sex drive. So then you've got things like environmental changes, again, which are probably going to be related to stress. You know, something like moving house or having a divorce, for lots of people, it's going to mean that their sex drive is just like absolutely tanking. And for others, it'll go up. And then we've got things like medications,
medical
for
sure,
disorders. And, you know, not getting enough sleep. Mm. Again, people can respond to these things in different ways, but people will certainly, all, you know, see kind of lulls and increases over the course of relationships, over their life, over different life stages. So, yeah.
Mm. What if you're really struggling with your partner having lower libido and you don't have much sex or no sex? How can you approach that?
Yeah, so I think really, as always, you know, starting with communicating about it, you know, trying to do that in a non-blaming way, you know, not saying something like, you don't have enough sex with me, we used to have so much more sex, what's wrong with you, I feel really, you know, lonely, you know, acting like someone owes you sex and that you're entitled to it is a surefire way to either have someone very, very resentfully have sex with you and then feel less trust and respect in the relationship, or to kind of balk at that and just not have sex and be even less likely to have sex with you, in which case, you know, you've kind of self-sabotaged. So I think approaching it by saying, hey, I'm feeling, you know, like we haven't sexually connected as much maybe recently or as much as I'd really like. Is there any particular reason for that? Is there anything you'd like to talk about? And is there any way that we can like support each other to be able to sexually connect? It might also be talking about the ways in which you have sex. You know, often people will find that over time, penetrative sex for some people, particularly people with vaginas, feels maybe too much kind of effort. And so that might mean that you take time to just have oral sex, manual sex, you know, masturbate beside each other, use vibrators, you know, have fun with some sex toys, watch some porn together, but basically expand what having sex looks like so it isn't just the old innie-outie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when should we consider whether lower libido is something we should accept and live with rather than trying to solve?
Yeah, so I think that's probably really about the dynamics in, you know, your relationship, if you are in a relationship. Because let's say you're someone who has had a fairly high sex drive for a lot of your life, and then it takes a big dip, and you might experience a real sense of grief and loss around that, because sex might have been a big part of your life in terms of fantasy and, you know, going on dates and, you know, having, whether it's hookups or just having kind of lots of sex in longer term relationships. And so, you know, if it's something that feels like it's affecting you because it's different, then, you know, you might want to go talk to a doctor, ideally probably talk to a sex therapist, because most GPs, although some of them are incredibly knowledgeable and helpful, most of them are not going to have very much training around and knowledge around sex specifically. And so they might say, well, here's just some, you know, antidepressants, or, you know, they might offer a range of things like telling you to lose weight or something like that, which is just not necessarily going to be helpful at all. So yeah, if that's going on, then probably, you know, seek out some support. If you're in a relationship, again, talk to your partner. You know, if your partner's fine with how things are, and you really talk about that, because sometimes what can happen is people actually feel quite lonely, left out, kind of abandoned in the relationship sexually, but they don't want to put pressure on their partner. They don't want their partner to feel guilty, or they don't want to sound vulnerable by saying, yeah, I do miss that part of our kind of relationship and life together. So try and have a, you know, open, honest set of conversations where you're being kind to each other and being transparent about, you know, whether it is an issue, because sometimes it's just not an issue. It's more that society is telling you that you should be wanting and having loads of sex, but actually you're quite happy having a roll in the sack once a month, and that does you fine.
We hear a lot about opening up sexless relationships. What should couples think about and discuss if they are really considering this?
Yeah. So first of all, I think, you know, sexless is a term that's used quite a lot. And I think there's more helpful terms that we can use because sexless, I mean, in sex therapy, it's often defined as 10 times a year or less. So, you know, less than once a month. But that's not zero sex, you know. So sexless for some, you know, 10 times a year might still be quite a lot to some couples. They certainly wouldn't call that sexless. And then for other people, they would feel like that was, you know, completely unsustainable, and they would really, really struggle in the relationship. So, you know, I think, you know, it's estimated that 15 to 20% of married couples and people in long-term relationships are having sex 10 times a year or less, which again, doesn't mean zero sex, but it really, you know, depends on what you mean by that.
Okay.
And I think, you know, a high percentage of people are pretty unhappy with the status quo from what we can tell from the research. But again, you know, we're kind of not necessarily looking at, are we talking about penetrative sex? Are we talking about more expansive ideas of sex? And also just looking at gender's approach to desire as well, because there's lots of things that can be helpful to know about desire that are not really common knowledge.
So if you want to up your sexual game, if you've fallen off the wagon or if it's fallen by the wayside, what's your advice for people out there?
Oh,
and they want to get back on the wagon.
If you want to get back on the wagon, you know, you're going to look at the basic things like sleep, diet, exercise. You know, those things don't have to be perfect, but like, you'll probably see an increase in your sex drive if you get more exercise. You know, if you're already exercising lots every day, then probably it's not going to go majorly up. But if you're exercising very little, doing a bit more, you're probably going to see a bit of an increase, simply because you'll be a bit fitter and you'll probably feel a bit more connected to your body. So that can be helpful. Doing things like stress reducing stuff, you know, chronic stress can really have a negative impact on desire and libido. So doing things like meditation, yoga, deep breathing, stuff like that is likely to really help, you know, libido, getting enough sleep, looking at your relationship issues and kind of medical issues. It could be something as simple as, God, haven't said it in ages, but using more lube.
Get it into you.
Lube.
Gone to you. Yes. Oh.
Got to get it in there. It can be doing things like experimenting. You know, if you always masturbate in a very particular way, doesn't mean there's anything wrong with that, but it might mean that your body and your, you know, mind have basically gotten bored of that. So it might mean switching it up, buy a couple of toys, experiment, try with some different forms of, you know, if you only watch visual porn, if you do, what you know, engage with porn, maybe you might want to try some, you know, kind of auditory porn, listening to porn, or reading erotica instead of watching it and seeing how that is. So these types of things can be really helpful.
I'm a big fan of the smutlit.
Oh, love some smutlit,
right? Yeah.
Who needs chicklit? We've got smutlit.
We've got smutlit to get our hands on.
You know, there's so much to choose from, which is great.
Yeah. Okay, last question. When is it a good time to get professional support?
When it's becoming, you know, you can get professional support at any time. It doesn't have to become a desperate problem in order to be able to seek out a sex therapist. You know, it could be to do with the fact that you have quite different kinks than your partner. It might be that you want to, you feel like you're interested in exploring your sexuality, but don't quite know how to go about that and feel nervous or ashamed about that. So you might want to get some help from a sex therapist just to have a really safe, supportive space to talk through that and have some exercises to do. So basically, you don't need to wait, seek out some people, have some, you know, free consultations. Most therapists will do kind of 10 to 20 minutes on the phone or over Zoom before you meet them, so that you can get a feel for whether you feel a good click and feel comfortable with the person. Sometimes it takes doing that a few times before you're going to feel like, yeah, actually, okay, I really feel like I can open up to this person and I feel like I, you know, that they're knowledgeable and that I trust them. So just giving yourself the opportunity to do that can be really helpful.
Okay, Rachel. Always helpful. Thank you so much for joining me again today. Rachel Cook is a psychotherapist and mental health consultant. She is on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook. If you want to give her a follow, she's loads of great information on there.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.